The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Hey now, and sports to you guys. You may notice that I am opening the show, which is different than usual. Usually, Fred Fowler opens the show. Unfortunately, Fred Fowler passed away this weekend.
What?
Just kidding. I don't think that's true at all.
What?
No, I don't, John. I was just kidding. I don't think that's true.
The Falcon flies no more.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I haven't heard from him in several days.
I saw a post on Facebook where he had pictures of Saskatchewan or Antarctica or wherever he is.
From what I understand, he's in a foreign country in a war-torn part of that country.
Really?
And it's a danger zone.
Ohio? Cleveland?
No, sir. Regina, Saskatchewan.
I'm sorry, what?
Regina.
I'm sorry.
Regina.
That doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, well.
That's a real name?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where Fred's wife is from. She was able to...
escape Regina.
Swim her way out of Regina.
All right.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yep. And now Fred likes to go back into Regina.
Quite often.
At least once a year when possible.
The married life.
Yeah, when he gets there, he's rough.
All over Regina.
He's rough.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people calling for a calmer, gentler Regina, but that's not how Fred likes it. Fred likes it like the Wild West.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep, that's what he goes out there for.
All right.
Barry Laminack is in with us. At Barry is funny on the Twitters. At Jon Snow is here. Snow with a zero in the snow part. And I am here, and we've got a lot to discuss today. Honestly, this is the truth, guys.
Okay. What is it?
I didn't want to start the show when it started. Yeah. I have been, here's another sad truth. I know there's baseball happening. I still don't care about sports right now.
Why?
Because there's so much other stuff going on that's more entertaining to me.
Like?
Particularly the Republican National Convention that's happening now. And it is hilarious.
It's riveting.
I mean, they don't know what to do. There's a large section of the people at this convention who do not want Trump to represent Republicans.
Right.
There's also a large section who they don't really care who represents Republicans as long as they beat Hillary Clinton. Which, I guess I can see a good argument for both sides.
Yeah.
But basically, they're like, a lot of these guys are asking for a roll call vote.
Yeah.
And the chairman is having none of that. He keeps doing a yays versus nays, ayes versus noes votes, voice votes.
He gives the same answer every time.
In the opinion of the chair, the ayes, it could be like, aye. No! In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. And it is so glorious. And representatives from, I want to say, Virginia, Iowa, and Colorado have just walked off the floor. They are going to have none of this because they feel their voice isn't being heard. The guy from Virginia, threw his credential on the ground and left.
He is not planning on making America great again, is he?
He does not want to make America great again, apparently.
The most embarrassing thing about all of that is when we were watching it is seeing the delegates from Texas.
That's a shame.
In the Texas flag shirt.
They wear
and hat. And
button-up shirts that are in the color scheme of the Texas flag with cowboy hats.
Yeah. Like, no one else is wearing a Virginia shirt. You know what I mean? Like, no one does that.
No.
There's no California shirt.
No.
Maybe there's no other state wears their flag as a shirt.
What I will say, Texas, though, at least the Texas shirt and cowboy hat guys, were yelling for a roll call vote. They did not like they felt like it was not a fair process.
Do you really trust a guy in a Texas flag shirt,
you
though?
You can't.
I don't
you
think
absolutely
you can.
Can't.
I don't think you can either.
You just can't. I don't.
Plus, they're all Ted Cruz boys, so they're of course they're going to be against.
Right. Ted
Donald
Cruz
Trump.
Also against Donald Trump being elected, although I do think that he at some point is going to have to just say, all right, I endorse Trump.
No.
And I bet he does.
You think so?
I think you have to.
Oh,
he wants to run again, I think, in 2020. And he knows that if he does not endorse Trump, people will say he didn't do everything he could to keep Hillary out of office.
Well, I guess you're right.
I'm going to tell you guys again about Gary Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Please educate me because I know nothing about this.
Just
cat.
Google it.
I know nothing. Nah,
are you one of these guys planning on not voting?
I am not voting.
Dude.
The last thing I want to do is go down to the polls and vote for one of these idiots. That's the last thing I want to do.
I can't.
Like, I didn't even vote in the last election because I didn't like the candidates.
I voted for Gary Johnson in the last election.
Because I'm pretty much split, I have voted both Republican and Democrat before, depending on the candidate. So, like, I voted for Bush twice. I voted for Obama.
Okay.
And then the second time around, I really wasn't all that thrilled with Obama, but I also didn't like any of the Republican candidates.
That's
so
exactly
I abstained,
what I felt.
So I didn't vote.
I voted for Obama the first time, and then when I was talking to my wife, I was like, I can't. Mostly the reason I voted for Obama is he said he was going to get all the
change.
Troops out.
Yeah, well, he didn't. There was a lot of things he said he was going to do.
And
that he didn't.
There's a long list of things that he said he was going to do that didn't get done.
And you really felt like.
I understand it's not all his fault. I know that the process makes it very difficult with this bipartisan thing that we've got. Like, you know, it's designed for Republicans to knock down what Democrats want to do and Democrats to knock down what Republicans want to do. I get it. But at the same time, I couldn't in good conscience say, yeah, I'll give him four more years to get nothing done.
Yeah.
At the same time, I could think of 500,000 ways to die before I could bring myself to vote for Mitt Romney. And it just wasn't going to happen.
I thought that would have been the worst, but then Trump came around.
Right. Like, now I'm yearning for the days of Mitt Romney.
I was sitting there reading this article thinking,
where's Mitt Romney when we really need him?
Like, Romney's kind of leading some of this anti-Trump, and I'm like, you know, I'm kind of digging Romney right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like when you break up with a crazy chick because you've got this other chick, and then you find out that the other chick is crazier than the chick you were with. It's like, wow, I want to go back to less crazy now.
And I think about Hillary Clinton. I'm like, man, sure wish John Kerry was running.
Where's
sad
Michael
reality.
Dukakis?
Yeah,
when
where's
you
Michael
need him?
Dukakis? Bring that dude out. Give me Al Gore and his internet. But yeah, I'm telling you, take some time and look up what Gary Johnson is into. And
it's just a different kind of crazy, though, right? Come on now.
I don't know.
I'm sure there's some weirdness to the Libertarian Party as well.
It's basically, I mean,
Is Willie Nelson his running mate?
No.
Oh.
Financially, they are conservative. You know, they want smaller government. They want a lot of these. They want the people to stop paying for a lot of things that they deem unnecessary. Socially, they are very liberal, and they say basically, if it's not hurting anybody, have at it.
Okay.
And that's what libertarians are basically. And I'm telling you, it's very difficult.
That opens the door for a lot of weirdness, though.
It's a lot of difference. It's something different, and people automatically assume that's weird. And I know Like, well, Republicans and Democrats are trying to paint him as crazy because, you know, but that's...
So military, where does he stand?
He doesn't want to. He wants to cut military spending.
Okay.
He doesn't want to fight wars for other people.
Social Security.
That's not our job.
What's the stance on Social
Security? I
believe
he wants to keep Social Security going. I don't know exactly the age, if he wants to pull back or what, but he wants to keep Social Security going.
Gun control.
He doesn't care. He can have guns.
Okay. Can I have?
I think he is.
Can I have assault weapons?
I don't. I mean, AR-15s. Are we talking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bazookas?
I don't think you can have bazookas.
Can I get a tank?
I don't think you. I honestly am not well read enough to know about the tanks, but that's. I think that's okay. No. But all listen, right. Take some time, and you know it takes a certain percentage to get him into the polls.
Yet. Where is he on Whataburger versus In-N-Out?
I don't think he has an opinion.
Well, then he's no president of mine.
I don't think he has.
Because it's either
opinion.
Whataburger or get the hell out.
He's now carrying 13% in the polls, which is a 4%
without
bump
the
for
Whataburger
him.
Vote or
without
with?
The Whataburger vote
okay.
even.
Wow.
And I think that those guys in the Texas shirts.
That's the Whataburger vote.
I think they're saying, you know what? Gary Johnson's better than Trump.
Yeah.
So.
What do you think? What is fast food? Do you think? Oh, Chick-fil-A definitely endorses Trump, huh?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think so.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to Google that.
They hate the gays. They love the Trumps.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how that goes.
That's amazing. That I mean, I don't know of any. Black, Hispanic, Asian, Jew, or gay person who vote for Trump, yet he's got a good chance of winning.
It's weird,
it's
huh?
Only white people vote for this guy.
Yeah, only radical, weird white
and
people.
And for the most part...
And I can say that as a weird white guy. I'm not radical. I'm weird. Let's face it. I simultaneously have no chin and a lot of chin.
And I think it's...
So I can say that, but... Yeah, you're right.
Either it's, really rich white people.
It's a very clear.
Really rich white people vote for Trump. And really, really poor white people vote for Trump.
the
middle ground is like, no, I'm not into that crazy nonsense.
I'm not going to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fall into that middle ground.
Are you? Okay.
I'm out on that. But I'm not voting for Hillary Clinton either. I just can't. And I'm not going to go and vote
She's
for
a different
someone
kind of crazy.
That I don't believe in. All right, well, we're not going to talk about politics all day, I promise, but I found that very interesting, what's going on. I hope we can get some audio of
the eyes and nose
and the eyes have it, and the people going crazy about it. But we'll have some sports today, a little bit of sports. I don't want to over-sports you, but we'll have some today as well. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. He never had a chance, and no one
even knew it was really only you. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
I am honored to have served as the chairwoman of this committee, and I am proud of our committee's work. Mr. Chairman, these rules will provide a strong governing framework for our convention and our party. I move the adoption of the resolution and yield back the balance of my time.
Thank you. Without objection, the previous question is ordered. The question is on adoption of the resolution. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it, and the resolution is agreed to.
All right. I notice when I talk politics, people on Twitter and the text line tend to get
a little antsy,
salty.
Yeah.
So
you got a few texts coming in already. Questioning your knowledge.
That's okay. Listen, I get all the time. Tell me how Trump's racist. Well, okay.
Maybe when you say all Mexicans are rapists, maybe that's a start.
Maybe
that
when
could
you
be
say,
it.
Let's ban all Muslims from entering the country.
Yeah.
Those things make me think that you're racist. Then people will say, you know, Hillary Clinton's a criminal. Why would you vote for Hillary Clinton? And that's why I say,
I wouldn't.
I won't vote for Hillary
Clinton. Just like I won't vote for Trump.
I think that
somebody
we live in a bizarro world where there's just two bad people running for president. And
yeah.
And it's like someone said today, if you vote for Gary Johnson, it's a vote for Hillary. And then who will you blame? And I said, well, I'll blame you for
not voting for Gary Johnson.
I'll blame you for voting for a dummy. And anyone who voted for Hillary or Donald Trump, that's who I'll blame.
Were you a Perot guy as well?
No. I wasn't old enough to vote then.
Yeah.
That was like 92, you're talking?
Yeah. That was the first year I could vote.
No.
And I voted for Perot.
Okay. Do you feel like you wasted your vote?
No. Because I mean. Because
that was.
I don't think Perot
ran twice,
vote.
Right?
Just like I don't think there's a wasted vote. Just like I don't think when people say not voting is un-American.
Right.
No. I have the right to vote. That doesn't mean I have to vote. Yeah.
Ross Perot, that's all I'm really kind of hoping is that Gary Johnson gets the same opportunity that Ross Perot had, where he's invited to the debates and things like that.
Right.
Because if you can't get into the debates, you can't really win an election. That's for certain. So I also think if you put a third guy out there, you know, when Clinton and Bush were up there, Bill Clinton and Bush won.
Yeah.
I think both guys were looked at as viable candidates to be president of this country. For at that time, it was going to be very difficult for someone like Ross Perot to win.
Yep.
But I mean, literally, you have if you put someone up there with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, it's like two Scooby-Doo villains like on each side of this guy. Somebody's going to go, you know what? I might pick that guy in the middle. I could legitimately see someone going through that thought process and be like, man.
It's like Hillary is before they take the mask off. And then when she takes the mask off, it's Trump. And she's like, I could have got away with it if it wasn't for these meddling kids.
Yeah. I just can't. I'm not going to vote for someone that I'm going to walk. And whichever one of these two wins, I don't know who's going to win. It seems like Hillary's, you know, polling to win. But who knows with that stuff. I'm not going to walk around for the next 4 or 8 years feeling guilty that I pushed a button for someone who is just going to screw up our country.
Well, here's the thing, though. I think if you take a realistic view of it, so when Obama was elected 8 years ago, or close to 8 years ago, the Republican Party and conservatives were freaking out. They were like, Obama is going to ruin our country.
He's the Antichrist.
Right. He was the far left. And I love when Republicans or conservatives always have to use his full name to make you hate him.
He's also
Barack Hussein Obama.
He's also a Muslim.
A great technique. Yeah.
Who was not born
they
in the United States.
They forget he's half white, but whatever.
Does not have a birth certificate.
Yeah. So, yeah. But he was going to be the end of our country and ruin it. And 8 years later, we're all right. I mean, we're not great, but we have our problems, but we've had problems. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you. It's going to be the same. That's going to be the same regardless of who wins the election between Trump and Hillary. The only difference is what are we going to look like to the rest of the world? Right. You're either going to have a liar or a weirdo as the face of our nation. And that's the thing that scares me the most. I don't think that Trump or Hillary can really screw up our country in 4 years, but I just worry more about, do I really want Trump being the face of the nation to the rest of the world? And the same goes for Hillary. Do I really want that to be the face? So that's what scares me. We're getting a lot of text here.
What I will say,
somebody
this-
said that Mexicans and Islam is not racist, so Trump ergo is not racist.
Okay.
All right.
What I will say is, you say it's hard to mess up the country in 4 years.
Yeah.
It is, but then when you have, like, Obama's had 8 years, W had 8 years. When you stack those together, boy, in 16, 20 years, you can do a lot of damage, man. A lot of damage.
Well, yeah.
And that's kind of basically my entire adult life has been those two guys.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, it's been a while since we've had a president that the entire nation could feel proud of. But I don't think you're ever going to get that again, though.
No.
Politics is so divided now.
It really is.
So that's the thing that really bothers me the most about politics, and I don't talk a lot of politics. This is actually a surprising amount of discussion I've had about politics.
I'm only talking about it today because I was watching those videos.
But the problem is that no one is willing to meet in the middle. No one is willing to come up with a compromise. Everyone has drawn a line in the sand, and it's either got to be I win 100% or I'm going down fighting.
Right.
And no one can just say, you know what? There's got to be a way for us to meet in the middle and compromise.
That's what I like about you, because you're in the 1%. You're super rich.
Shut up.
But at the same time, you're cool with abortion.
You have no idea what my political beliefs are. By the way, we're getting a lot of texts as well about Fred and Regina. And they said Fred liked Regina when back in the 70s more, when they had long hair in Regina. I don't know what that meant. But
the long, like when
Fred liked Regina better when everyone had longer hair. I don't know what that meant. Fred liked Regina. Okay. Well,
I think he's talking about
Let's see. Oh, wow. All right. Yeah, that's it. There's a lot of political text coming in, which is making it weird now, but there's British people talking about Lewis Hamilton. Oh, all right. You've opened up Pandora's box.
That's okay. Chase said, doesn't matter who you vote for. We live in a red state, so Trump will win regardless of who we vote for. That's actually not true. This is...
Well, it kind of is.
In a way, it is. But if you look at the way things are polling right now...
Yeah.
And they have maps where it'll show like a super blue state, which is like, you know, like Duke Blue Devil jerseys.
Uh-huh.
That's like, we love Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And then you'll see states that are like North Carolina blue. And those are states that are like, we don't want to vote for Donald Trump, but, you know, I guess Hillary's our best option. Then there's super dark red states. They look like Aggie colors.
That's maroon, not red.
Either way, it's super dark red. And we are Trump states.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's pink states.
Yep.
And believe it or not, Texas is a pink state right now, which means that
you are going to have so many dudes in Texas flag shirts and hats ready to fight you now.
Yeah.
This is not a pink state.
It's a pink state.
Are you sure about that?
I'm 100%
sure.
What
makes you think that?
The maps that I've looked at and the current polls. And at the end of the day, yeah, Trump probably is going to win this state. But again, if Gary Johnson reaches a certain number of votes in the popular vote, in 4 years, the third party will get the same funding and
that would be good.
Things that the other two parties get, which right now they don't.
Somebody said that that's the problem. There shouldn't be a middle ground. It's either in the Constitution or it is deferred to the states. It's a pretty simple concept. That's not the point that I was making. You're making a point about the Constitution, and I'm making a point about finding middle ground on different social issues.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys, if today's another day at the job that you hate, I'm sure Barry did not want to be in here talking politics with me today.
No, this is the worst.
He is looking for a new job, a way out. Well, I'm going to tell him about my computer career. Listen, there's a ton of computer jobs out there right now. IT is consistently ranked as one of the fastest-growing job industries in the country. The place to go to get the skills you need, mycomputercareer.edu. There's a huge demand for certified pros. My Computer Career has job placement specialists that will work with you to get you hired. It's one of the hottest computer job markets in the country here in Houston. There's companies hiring IT guys all over the city. But to get these jobs, you've got to have the skills and certification. And I know what you're thinking. Going back to school is going to take too long. It's going to cost too much money. Nobody has time for that. I got a family to support, mortgage, a car payment. Well, My Computer Career, you're going to be in and out of school in less than a year, and financial aid is available, including the GI Bill. Go check them out. You got nothing to lose. MyComputerCareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. It's the first step to changing your life and making more money. That's MyComputerCareer.edu. Take that free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz, and We'll get away from all this.
Can you just read what Frobia said on Twitter?
Yeah, I say whoever is the highest level Pokemon trainer in November gets to be president. That's actually pretty legit.
And then he also added that, or just assign him a candidate to the Pro Bowl team, and whoever wins equals president. Yeah,
Team Rice versus Team Sanders. They both are assigned one.
I love it.
Cody says, how will a woman leading our country be perceived by the Middle East? Hashtag weak. And
you really care what some woman-hating country thinks about a president if she's a woman? Do you really care what that country thinks?
Not really.
No. If you're that backwards, I don't care what you think anyways.
I'm with you. I'm more worried about like the actual countries that we have alliances with and do trade with.
And them
with.
Going, yeah, you're too crazy for us to help you. Yeah, that's more of my concern.
Also, apparently,
that's like saying, like, are you ISIS will never take us serious with a woman? Well, no kidding. They're not going to take us serious anyways.
We have a man president now, and apparently ISIS doesn't care.
Yeah.
Trump's motorcade, reports are saying, was just involved in an auto accident.
Is that what's going on I-10?
That could be it.
I have no idea.
It's stretching all the way from Cleveland to here.
Maybe it's Cleveland, Texas.
Cleveland, Texas, that would affect 59 traffic, not I-10 traffic, especially not westbound. Get your Houston geography down.
You know what? Sometimes I don't let the facts get in the way.
That's one thing I like about you. That's one thing I like about you. All right. Well, as Rudy Giuliani would say, we'll stop with all the gobbledygook. And we'll...
We did get a sports question on the text. Do you care? You're probably not going to like the question, but somebody wants to know, do you think U of H has a chance at the Pac-12? Hasn't this been talked about already like 1,000 times?
Why the Pac-12?
Yeah, well, and what's in it for the Pac-12?
I don't think, no. Honestly, I don't think the UH has a chance at the Pac-12. So I'll just leave it at that. I know UH guy wants to hear great news that everybody's interested in them, but they're not.
Maybe they'll swap Baylor for U of H in the Big 12.
Well, if only it were that easy. Baylor would have been out a long time ago, let me tell you. But it's just not the way it is. Right now, I think the best thing for UH is to beat up everybody in the crappy conference they're in.
Become a powerhouse.
Keep getting New Year's Day bowls. I mean, yeah. that's the best thing you can do. Become what Boise was 10 years ago.
Yeah. Even get a red field. And
no, don't
what?
Do that.
Get a no. Now let me finish.
I don't like that.
Get a red field. Bring in some snow. And you could just be South Boise.
I don't think that's a good idea.
And no.
I'm.
And then there could be a TV show that looks like it's about your school, but maybe it's not. You don't know.
What was that show called? I don't remember. Blue Mountain State?
Yes.
Yeah.
Be like Red Mountain.
That show got canceled.
Well.
There's no mountains here.
All right. we could do Red Bayou State. What?
Great. That's not good either.
All right.
Let me get to some real news.
Okay, go.
Arian Foster is back.
Yes.
And definitely not getting injured this year. 100% sure, no chance he's going to be injured. That's a Barry Laminack guarantee.
Book it.
He is making a whopping $1.5 million this upcoming season.
Wow.
Which include incentives that could bring the value of the deal to a max $3.5 million. Listen, if there's a team that could use some solid production at running back, when you look at Kenyon Drake is at the top of their depth chart, it's not a bad thing, but...
Well, you never said who he signed with.
Oh, the Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I knew who it was, but you just didn't say it.
I don't think that you're going to ever see great Arian Foster again. I think that's come and gone.
He's almost 30, right?
He'll be 30 this year. He has obviously now developed what we'll call a serious injury history.
Yeah.
This is a list since he became the Texan starter in 2010. Torn meniscus, multiple
hamstring
injuries.
Wait, are you
going
to go over all his injuries? Do we have time, John, or are we going to have to go to break in 15
minutes? A knee
injury.
A back injury that required surgery, a minor groin injury, a major groin injury, and a torn Achilles tendon.
Jeez.
So.
Good luck, Dolphins.
Yeah. I think that Texans fans should be glad they got as much as they possibly could have out of that guy.
Yeah.
And I was glad that they didn't even offer him a pay cut. They just said,
yeah, we're done.
It's been real, which I think is the right thing to do. I didn't expect anyone to sign him until later in the season, but apparently someone thought that he's healthy enough to take a gamble on. All I'll say is good luck to you.
Yeah.
I have a hard time picturing that guy. I mean, maybe if he's getting 6 carries a game, maybe he can stay healthy. You try to put 20 carries a game on that dude.
I'll admit, I don't know a ton about Kenyon Drake, but I could imagine maybe Foster being their third down back and maybe just, you know, being that pass catcher out of the backfield on third down and not having to be the every down back that he was here. Possibly.
I guess that's a possibility.
I mean, for you know, you're not obviously with what you're paying him, neither one of you have a lot of hope that he's going to return to form.
No.
And, you know, so it's a gamble. It's a gamble. But it's interesting that this happens now, which I would have thought, because we had this question come up on the show this past Sunday. Someone asked, do they think Andre Johnson, or do we think Andre Johnson would be signed or have a job before preseason starts? I think it was one of our Hot Routes questions. And I said, no, it would probably be third
almost
week.
No chance.
No, because he wouldn't participate anyways. I mean, he's so. I would think the same thing would be true for Arian Foster. I don't know that you want him putting in a ton of work and getting injured again.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
good for the Dolphins. They swapped out Lamar Miller for Arian Foster, and as did the Texans. So, good job, Dolphins.
Yeah. One thing I will say, Arian Foster is in a spot. These are the spots where he thrives, where he's making very little money. And in a position to set himself up for big money, that's usually when he blows the top off that thing. And maybe he'll have one of those years and someone will pay him.
Until he gets hurt.
Someone will pay him $30 million next year.
And he'll get hurt.
And then he'll get hurt. Yeah. That's the Arian Foster
way. That could be.
A lot of people, Casey and Van Manen, sending me the article about Hunter Yurecek meeting with the Pac-12 commissioner. I'm not saying why would we discuss it. I'm saying why would the Pac-12.
Yeah, what's their incentive?
Everything I've heard, the Pac-12 is happy with 12 teams. They have no reason to expand at this point. And
I mean, the only thing, and you hear it all the time when the discussion comes up, but the only thing is opening the door in Texas for recruiting a little bit more.
Right.
That doesn't directly benefit any of the other schools or the conference as a whole.
Okay. Well, I've always said that if the Big 12 were to blow up somehow, which I still think at some point it might, I could see Texas ending up in the Pac-12. But the Pac-12 has a certain they're looking for a certain sort of swagger to it. I don't think the University of Houston is a big ad for them.
No, it's certainly not a big ad. Like I said, it doesn't. There's not a benefit to the conference or to the individual teams in the conference. It just makes traveling that much harder. But it does. I mean, to me, U of H, the style of U of H, kind of maybe mirrors the style of a Pac-12 team a little bit more than say Texas does. But
you're talking about like the style
of play.
No one cares about that.
Well, but
it's about dollars and cents, man. They don't care about that. And they care about how they care about that's a Pac-12 especially.
I'm not saying it's an important part.
They care about a liberal attitude. They care about your research departments at your schools.
Well, I'll put it this way: if all of the teams were on the table, the Pac-12 isn't going to go out and sign up a school like Wisconsin because of the style of play that they have. Right.
Right.
They're looking for someone that fits the mold of a Pac-12 school and a Pac-12 conference. They're known as the high flying, fast playing conference. U of H would fit that mold a little bit more than most of the teams that they might be considering. But I just think there's way too many negatives, and that's not a big enough selling point to get them in at this point.
Well, anything could happen. I will say that.
I think if they made their field red, that would give them a better shot. John texted us something about no red field. I need to look at it.
You're against red field, John?
Oh.
Oh, Eastern Washington has a red field.
It's hard to see.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, I like it. It just looks like they're playing in lava. like a big. And when they had a bowl at you at the state, they could call it the Blood Bowl.
That's a bad idea too.
No,
you're having your heart's in the right place.
That's great.
This isn't good.
All right,
that's not going to work for me. All right, you know what is going to work for me?
What?
Telling you about Gary Trichter. If you are the kind of person who likes to go out and have a beverage, that's perfectly within your rights, and you're allowed to drive after that. I'm not saying you should get drunk and drive. Of course you shouldn't, but you're within your legal rights to go out and have a beer at the bar and drive home. Now, you may be pulled over. The cop may smell alcohol on you, and he may arrest you right there for DWI. He could give you a test that's designed for you to fail. Then he's taking you in for DUI, even if you're not drunk. Doesn't matter. What does matter is having the right kind of attorney to tell the truth about the testing that the police do. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist right here in Houston. He's experienced in doing just that. He's experienced in taking DWI cases to trial. While a lot of DWI lawyers will take DWI cases, very few are experienced in trial settings. Gary Trichter has a ton of experience here. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or even boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit him online at texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
If night falls in your heart, I light the fire in the dark. When you sound the alarm, we'll find each other's arms.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
All right, we are back on the Blitz. Boy, I'm not trying to start an argument about about the Cougs.
Uh-oh.
Listen, if you want them in the Pac-12, good luck to you. They've got a new stadium. They're the perfect fit.
I don't know about perfect fit.
Well, listen, even with their new stadium, which holds 40,000 people. Is the capacity at TDECU.
Mm-hmm.
That would be smaller than all but one stadium in the Pac-12, which is Washington State, which is in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the Pac-12 probably wishes they didn't have Washington State in their conference anyway. And people are saying that it'll put them in the Texas market.
Yeah, that was a point I made, but I don't know that it's going to open up some exposure.
Yeah, getting Texas.
But it's different than getting
A&M. Texas A&M.
Exactly.
I mean, those are schools that open up doors for recruiting in a state.
Exactly. To the rest of the conference.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, this is going to open up a little bit of recruiting of 2- and 3-star players from the Northwest to U of H, if it happened, more so than opening up Texas to Oregon's already down here.
Yeah,
you're not doing Oregon a favor, or Oregon State for that matter, or any of the teams out of the Pac-12. You're not really creating much more of a recruiting advantage for them in the state that they don't already have.
I will say
with U of H,
listen, is U of H more deserving to be in a major conference than some schools that are in major conferences? Yes. Does that mean that they want to add for the sake of adding? No, and someone tweeted and brought up a good point that the Big Ten is probably regretting adding Rutgers because at the end of the day, it did nothing for their overall profile. I think it's going to push conferences away from adding for the sake of adding.
Yeah,
and they've got 12 teams, so they've got a conference championship game. They're set. Really, should the Big 12 add? Yeah, they should. Would UH be a viable option for them? Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's about what Texas and Oklahoma want, because without Texas and Oklahoma, the Big 12 is basically the American Conference.
Yeah.
And it's a sad reality, but when they lost, I mean, Nebraska and Texas A&M were their third and fourth biggest football programs. They lost both of them. I mean, it literally became a two-horse conference. And Texas doesn't want anyone added. And if they don't want anyone added, the Big 12 is not going to trade out Texas for three other teams and think that their conference is improved. They're just not.
And you say it became a two-horse, you know, or two-team conference with So you're discounting what Baylor and TCU have done?
On the field. I don't, on the field doesn't matter to these guys. Again, Baylor and TCU aren't needle movers for the Big 12. And neither would U of H be.
I mean, I agree with the U of H part, but I don't know that I agree with you by saying that Baylor and TCU aren't needle movers in the Big 12. They've been doing rather well the last couple of years
on the field.
Yes,
you don't understand. That's what UH fan wants to say. Look how good we are on the field. That's why we
U of H has only done it for 1 year.
It doesn't matter how good at football you are. It matters what you bring to the table in terms of revenue. Mm-hmm. And Baylor and TCU bring very little compared to it. Texas has been terrible in the time that Baylor and TCU have been great. Texas still brings in five times the money those schools do. That's what matters to conferences. How much money can you bring to the pot? And okay. Baylor and TCU, even as good as they've been on the field, that doesn't matter. It's not a factor.
They're certainly bringing in more money with their bowls than Texas has been.
That's true.
I mean, that's got to count for something.
But if Texas leaves the Big 12, what network's paying for a big – if Texas and Oklahoma aren't in the Big 12, what network's looking at it and saying, well, they've got Baylor and TCU. We should give them tons of money because –
Well, the Longhorn Network, it certainly hasn't benefited anyone other than Texas.
It is not. But for these – and that's why Texas doesn't want to add anyone to the Big 12 because they want the Big 12 network to make the Longhorn Network go away. Mm-hmm. Texas doesn't want that because that's money out of their pockets
sure. That
not everybody else is getting. But the reality is Texas could leave the Big 12 tomorrow and be an independent and still be very profitable. TCU couldn't leave the Big 12 and make more money outside the Big 12 than they are inside it. Baylor couldn't leave the Big 12 and be more profitable than they are. Because right now, they're all getting a chunk of money that Texas and Oklahoma brings. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue with it, but I just think you're selling short the contributions that Baylor and TCU have made in the last 5 years. I'm not saying overall, 10 years, whatever, but in the last 5 years, I think they've made a larger contribution than in years past.
Barry, what you got to remember
is they're earning their keep is what I'm saying. They're not Texas Tech where they might have a winning season here and there. They're actually contributing to the overall wealth of the Big 12 more so than they did in the past.
But you're talking about like money from bowl games. At the end of the day, the Big 12 is going to have a certain amount of teams in bowl games no matter what. Somebody's going to do it.
One true champion.
Yeah. If Baylor wins zero games this year, somebody's going to get bowl eligible and get their bowl money. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
All right. It is 4:54. We've spent this hour talking about politics and
the Blood Bowl.
The Blood Bowl
and
Pac-12 expansion and the
It's a wonderful time of year.
The merits and non-merits of that. Now we're going to spend the next minute talking to Aubrey Theodi, who joins us now. Hello, Aubrey.
Hey, guys. Y'all covering the gambit today.
We are getting all over it. Aubrey, tell us about Dirt Free. Tell the people about your company.
Well, I mean, the one thing I probably can clean up is some of our politics. I have to tap out and turn off the Dirt Free truck on some of those people. But in your home, friends, we would never give up tile, grout, leather, drapes. You think about it, upholstery, your wool rugs. We can do your wool rugs on site with our super water, our chem-free pre-spot. We have a special Haitian cotton soap for specialty wools and non-color set fabrics. Friends, pick up the phone, dial 281 Dirt Free. When we come out to your home, we'll start in the worst area. We won't run away from the problem. We'll run right at it. We run right at the worst spot, test it there. If you love it, milk and cookies, dancing in circles, we'll do the whole job. If you don't, if you say, you know, Aubrey, that area didn't come out as good as I hope, then we no bill you can go to another job. 281 Dirt Free, dirtfreecarpet.com. Three rooms, I'll tell you what, we'll we'll do three rooms for $100. We'll give away a $100 free speed drive the first 20 callers. 281-DIRTFRE-347-8373. 281-DIRTFREE-DIRTFREECARPET.com.
All right, Arb, appreciate you taking the time with us. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Thanks, guys.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.